Hello. Is this working? Check, check, check. Checkity check. Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. I'm just gonna take 10 seconds here to see how the audio is and how the stream is because I'm on my laptop in a hotel in Texas. And I got a good stream for you guys today. We're gonna talk about masculinity, the need for it. I'm in a good mood. It's not going to be negative. It's going to be positive. I think that there's some cool changes happening to people's mindsets. And like I just got a message from someone, a scientist, who said, "Hello, you're a brave warrior for truth. Firstly, thank you for your contribution to humanity. My name is my background Princeton doctorate work in quantum physics," and she wants to do a stream about. Because this is why sometimes I link up with scientists like Eric Weinstein, those guys were gravitated towards me, is because sometimes comedy links well with things that start getting proven in the science world, and the need for masculinity to the point where some scientists are speculating that there's potential extinction down the line if we don't figure out our society and our genomes and whatnot. That sounds a little intense, but it's what made me start thinking about this. So I want to dedicate this episode to my brother, who has always been my male role model, and I'm about to see him next week. And I got a lot of letters from last episode where I was saying that I worked really hard to be at Delta, and I feel like a strong, supportive man, but I'm not really alpha these days. And a ton of people just wrote me. They're like, "Dude, you're an alpha male. It's like a fact." And some people wrote me, they're like, "Oh, and by the way, people would like you in prison." I guess some ex-cons that are bears took the time to be like, because I said that in normal life I'm masculine, but in prison I would be a woman and probably someone's sex toy. And a bunch of people wrote me and they're like, "Nah, the OGs would like your mind. They'd protect you if you were funny and you said stuff." And so I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." I'm not fully on board the whole categories of males, by the way. It was just a fun thing to talk about. Bear in mind that also that when you see my stream, sometimes I just get really into an idea that day and I'm not set in stone on it. I don't really know if any of that stuff is real. It just seemed interesting to think about like how you fit in the social dynamics. Sidekick Bear is not here. I miss him. One of the funniest ones of the Sidekick Bear's backstory was that Sidekick Bear had information that would have led to the arrest of Hillary Clinton, and that's why Sidekick Bear was dead. Oh, I may or may not be guest hosting for Crowder on Wednesday. That could be fun. But I'm here shooting with him for the week, and I'm excited to be here. But let's just start talking. I put up a bunch of stuff that I'm going to show you, and I think it'll just kind of steer the conversation. Oh, and get tickets to the tour, hugepianist.com. Denver is now sold out, both shows. So that's gone now. That's what I'm telling you guys. It's like things, and I even added a show, and it's a almost a full like almost a month away, which is a great thing. I'm not complaining. I just legit feel bad for people that really want to see me in a city that I don't go to a lot, and then they can't because it sells out. That's why I get a little stern, and I'm like, "Get tickets now." Salt Lake City is almost sold out. Phoenix is almost sold out. Vegas still has some room. We got a pretty big venue, and but it's selling pretty well. Albuquerque, I doubt that'll sell out, just to be honest. So there's no rush on Albuquerque, but I'm excited to go there. And sometimes like half full shows are intimate and awesome. I've never played there. I don't think it has a huge population. I can't even say where I'm performing until the week of. So when you buy a ticket, they're like secret shows because I don't want them to get blitzed by social justice nonsense. Because I've been persona non grata by my former colleagues and the horror show that is Hollywood and entertainment. But it's a blast. I promise you'll have fun, and I really hope everybody that wants to go can get the opportunity because I can't really do mainstream press either. It's only from these streams or my Instagram or doing Crowder or like I just did Michael Knowles' show and Alex Jones. I was gonna guest host for Alex Jones today, but I was on a plane. All right, anyway, let's just start talking. Because this is the thing that I think that's happening for women. And it's like women got what they asked for, but not what they wanted. And that's starting to be a little evident. And I saw something really hopeful with Saturday Night Live. And don't get me wrong, I don't trust Saturday Night Live. I don't think they're funny. I think they're a bunch of biased, propagandizing hacks. But this dude, Pete Davidson, made fun of this vet who lost his eye in war. And I gave him shit about that. I said that it was classless and all that. And I'm for his right to do that. I just said it was gross. But some good news came from it. So the dude, Dan Crenshaw, who just got elected to Congress, which is awesome, went on SNL. Pete Davidson apologized. And then Dan Crenshaw mocked Davidson. And in a funny way, it was like Pete Davidson's ex-girlfriend is Ariana Grande, and they recently broke up. And Davidson or Dan Crenshaw's phone started ringing, and it was an Ariana Grande song. And he was like rubbing that in, and the crowd laughed. It was a healing moment. It really felt that way. It felt like there was a gap bridge where people could see that the way to bond, especially with males, is through making fun of each other and not having separate rules. Like rules for thee and not for me is the problem. That's why Jim Acosta, I don't think he put hands on the girl. Don't get me wrong. Jimmy Kimmel and all these people are lying, like beyond. It's weird to watch them lie and not even realize they're lying. But it's not assault, in my opinion. But the way he talks and what his standards are, like one time at a press briefing or whatever. Acosta was like, "Mr. President, after you talk to me, will you please call on a woman? It's time." You know, he's one of those guys. And so when those people hold us to a certain standard of nonsense, and then they just blow past all the rules and like overpower a woman trying to get their microphone, that's not okay. So this Davidson Crenshaw moment was awesome because you got to see the release of that tension, that feeling that can become hatred. When Crenshaw got to rip on Davidson, you're like, oh, everything just went back to zero and it feels good again. That's why I am so upset that comedy has been so hijacked by leftism, because comedy is the way to bring back whatever pendulum is moving in the wrong direction in society. Like, for example, when Matt Damon made fun of Judge Kavanaugh and not Christine Blasey Ford, that was a bad moment because the joke was to mock Christine Blasey Ford. Everyone felt it. There was a lot of nonsense happening. And to then double down on the propaganda against Kavanaugh just felt wrong. And it's bipartisan. It really is. Like, if I hear a really good joke mocking Republicans or conservatives or Trump or I'm pro-life, and I've heard some abortion jokes from friends of mine that are pro-choice that have made me die laughing because they're just so well written. Who's got the best ones? Don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm off on a tangent. But that I just wanted to give a little good news on that. And no, I don't now like Saturday Night Live. I don't like Pete Davidson. I think he was kind of forced into that. But I really like Dan Crenshaw. And I like that people got to see how much better it is when males mock each other and not just One Direction. Because I think there's this over-feminizing effect that's happening. And I think the gender issues that we're facing are so much crazier and more pronounced than anything else, than views, than race. Like, even if you understand and admit to certain bell curve situations with race, with biological differences, it's so minimal compared to men versus women. Like, women don't have that biologically or culturally where one mocks the other and the other mocks the other and then they make up. That can start a passive aggressive war for 10 years that results in just a poisoning or something. It's just a different way. And I think this world needs a healthy dose of male. All right. So like this is a funny meme. Oh, do you like my new camouflage ring? Because I like having these rubber rings for when I do manual labor stuff. My finger doesn't fall off. But I'm going to try and be a little more verbally clean on these streams because my wife likes to listen to them, which is pretty insane. I figured she'd be sick of me by now. And a lot of times she's around our kids. And so that kind of just organically happened. I will still spiral and occasionally drop some hard Fs, some Ns, some Cs. You know, I probably will today. But I'm going to be a little more thoughtful about that. But this image is hilariously vulgar. But if you're just listening, it's fine. This is really funny. First date, 1988, and you see a man on his knees. 2015, you see a woman on her knees. And then 2018, you see a man on his knees. And it's getting pretty brutal. Men are becoming very feminine, and a lot of it has to do with Hollywood. Dave Chappelle had this haunting interview. It might have been with Oprah or somebody else, but he was talking about how weird it is that Hollywood keeps making black males wear dresses. And this effeminizing, this like Pete Holmes, that show on HBO. Like I saw a lot of stand-ups become very successful, and they were all like so many of them were just the biggest soy boy, effeminate, you know, toxic masculinity guys. And there's a reason for that. People want to get rid of protective alpha males that are predators because males are the ones that actually defend women and children and nations. 99.99% of men are not going to Me Too movement you. That and typically the ones that do are the leftist creeps, the weirdos that say they're everyone's friend. You know, they donate to the Clinton Foundation and then you find out they have a bunch of dead bodies in their cellar. Oh, that's a cool picture, but I want to show you that. All right, men back in the day, you have a lion, and then men today, and you have a lion with a man bun yawning. It's bad, and women aren't happy with this. I get messages from women saying like, where do I find a man like you? And they're not hitting on me at all. They're just like a guy that isn't a pussy. They're genuinely curious. And my recommendation is churches. Like your church is way better than a bar. Bars, after a certain age, you can, if you're in your 20s, you can meet a guy at a bar if guys are out in their 20s. Once you start hitting 30s, you're not going to meet a good guy in a bar. At church, you're more likely to line up with beliefs and culture and how you want to raise children, and those things long term are huge. But there's great guys out there. There's tons of bears out. Bears have met, unbearables have met on the stream, gotten married, and had children since we've been doing this. Isn't that insane? It's you just really go for that good guy. Just go for a good dude. You know, not flashy, not loud, not center of attention, not a special boy, not a boy with a lot of dreams. You know, maybe one dream, maybe two dreams, not a lot of dreams. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. must have been a terror to be married to. I think he was also a bit of a butt boy. Martin Luther King Jr., I'm pretty sure, was a little pecker crazy. And you don't want that. That really complicates the relationship. Here's a cool picture from a while ago. I mean, that becoming a dad has made me lose my mind but find my soul. And I have lost my mind a bit when I see the abuse of children. I've gotten extra, but I've never been so connected to my soul in my life to the point where I think about times in my life where I almost didn't have a soul. Not that I was doing evil or hurting people, but I just felt feel like I was on someone else's lazy river. And this little man right here, Walter, changed all that. And really, the love Amy's had for me and having children has pulled me out of a life that just would not have been as good. I don't know how else to put it. And of course, Charlie, and it's just a blast. And so you definitely kind of lose your mind a little bit. I was telling that to Dave Smith, one of my close friends, Dave Smith, who's the host of Part of the Problem podcast. He's a great human being, and he's about to have his first daughter with his wife, Lauren, who's an incredible human being too. And I told him, I'm like, you think you're paranoid now? Because he's like, he's very political, hates like the Fed. He's Jewish, but kind of paranoid about what the Jews are up to in a funny way. Like, global banking and shit like that. He's an anarcho-capitalist, but hilariously, he's now seeing the horrors of abortion. And I keep making fun of him that he's now like he has a Christian conservative podcast. And he was like before his wife got pregnant, he was completely pro-choice, and then that changed in his mind. But I'm like, dude, you think you rant now? Wait till you have a kid. You're gonna be just stockpiling water and gold and seeds, because he's already pretty mental, and so that's just gonna escalate. But when he has his kid, make sure you congratulate him and his wife because he's a really good dude. Like this reports NBC News covered up credible rape allegations against Harvey Weinstein. See, these are the men that you don't want in your society, and this is the leftism pushes this for a reason, because if they feminize good men, predators can just have a field day. It's just like, remember that show Shop Till You Drop or Supermarket Sweep? I was on Shop Till You Drop when we first came to LA, me and my buddy, Pat DeLuca. Still one of my best friends, but we met in kindergarten. But we were on one of those game shows where you just run around and you throw everything you can into a cart. That's how rapists and pedophiles would treat the world if there weren't men, if there weren't good men. And that's why a lot of these butt boys out in Hollywood, like Brad Pitt, when this guy assaulted Brad Pitt's girlfriend, Gwyneth Paltrow, Brad Pitt didn't do anything. Because he had already had his masculinity broken by the system, and that's why they reward him with power. There are a few masculine men still in Hollywood. Most of them are, the Adam Sandlers and the Vince Vaughn, Trey Parker. There's some good men still, but not many. There's not many any like men that are at all masculine. They're very into their own image. Like they're the type to think about their pores. Sometimes I leave the house and I forget to wear like shoes. Like sometimes I'll go all day and not see how I look at all. And then Amy will be like, "Do you have chocolate on your face?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's why. Don't poke the bear." And then you have these butt boys out in Hollywood that are just like, "I feel like my hands sometimes do my talking." This is what they talk about at these parties, I swear to God. Like it's the dumbest. Hell must have the dumbest conversations. Like if you go to hell, like all the men there must just be like, "I've been working on an Atkins diet, and then I started just realizing that it's more about gluten, but sometimes my hands, if they're not right, I don't feel like I can convey the character." Like that's what hell is. It's just butt boys that they're the center. 'Cause I'm very pro male. I think that they get screwed over in court systems, war, a lot of job, 97% of job fatalities are male. That being said, to be a really good male, you shouldn't be at the center of your world once you have a wife and a child. It's not about you at all. And it's tough to admit that when you have all these feminist C words, and you know what word I'm talking about. They're so aggressive and disrespectful and grotesque that it's hard to admit. You want to just be like, "No, men matter. You sit down. Who gave you the right to vote? Was there a vote to give you the vote that you couldn't vote in yet? How did we lose that vote?" I get that. I feel that tremendously sometimes. But the reality is, good masculinity isn't focused on yourself. It's focused on your community, your nation, your family, your friends, long-term stuff. Like women, like my wife is more focused on Walter's day-to-day, like he's working on shapes, or like is he well-fed? Is his diaper, whatever, stuff like that. I'm focusing on like, is our currency gonna fall apart? And if so, have I backed against inflation, paying off debts, doing my part to keep our nation strong. It's just a different way of seeing the world. And it works together so well that, and that's why sometimes women can be a lot more self-centered and materialistic, because they need materials in their immediate vicinity because they, for thousands of years, when you have a baby that needs you on your breast all the time, you have to be self-centered because you're the center of that kid's universe. Without you, this child dies, and you need to understand your milk ducts and whether or not you're making enough milk, and do you have a headache? Have you got enough sleep? Are you healthy enough for this kid? Did you eat spices that he's now going to get in in the milk? Stuff like that. Like, that's why there's a reason. I'm a religious person, but you don't have to be. You can think of however you want to view it, but I perceive our natures and our behaviors and our genders as how it was meant to be. We're God's creations. And there's a reason we are the way we are. And if you somehow try to alleviate the toxic, the dead wood, the butt boys out there in Hollywood trying to destroy masculinity so they can feast on the weak and the vulnerable, it's really beautiful. And yeah, all right, let's keep going here. That was one of my. So this is one of my old tweets. And if anybody has screen, I'm banned for Twitter from life, for life, by the way, and they deleted all my Twitter. I can't even. Sometimes you guys are like, email me a tweet I should check out. I can't even look at the tweet because they make you log in for the app. I have to go on the website, and I can't even log in, and they know my phone number. It's hilarious how much work they put into silencing me. But like, this is what I'm talking about. Look at this gaggle of gays. It's just all these men are such precious little boys, and they're like what run Hollywood. And don't get me wrong, you can be homosexual and masculine and a good person. When I say this stuff, you know what I mean. It's a social and a cultural phrase, like a butt boy or a gay or a fag or something like that. We all know what it means. We all know it's a weak male, and sometimes that's associated with trying to put your wiener inside another dude because sometimes that's a good telltale sign that someone's a bit of a precious boy and kind of focused on themselves and not the community. But that being said, I've met some incredibly strong males that are gay. So it's not like the logic proof, it's not like being gay means you're not strong, but it's a great way to describe a weak person. Soy boy is another great one. I mean, soy boy is awesome because then if someone says it's homophobic, they just admitted soy is a gay being. All right. So anyway, I tweeted every person in this photo has the same political party, endorsed the same candidate, same stance on every issue. Ladies and gentlemen, comedy. And I did that October 3rd, 2016. And from right here, it had 13,000 retweets here. It got up to like 40,000 retweets to the point where on Pod Save America, they even addressed it. And it's so well worded and the picture is so perfect that some of my tweets, they had to literally take me off Twitter because you can't argue what this is. There's a picture of a bunch of butt boys that are in charge of all late night comedies, and they're all sipping on fancy drinks, wearing fancy suits. They all endorse Hillary Clinton. They're all pro-choice. They all hate Trump. I mean, this is not representative at all. And if you did the math, so it's let's just say it's binary. You have right wing, left wing. But it's even worse than that because it's like every Bill Maher has a few libertarian views, but not really. I mean, not really. He would never say he's pro-life or I don't know. He's not fiscally conservative. He's a black boy. You know what I'm saying? But let's just say it's binary. So that's one to the what power? I don't know. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. So there's 10 of them right there. So one and two, then one and four, one and eight, one and 16, one and 32, one and 64, one and 128, one and 256, one and 512, one and 1,024. So how hilarious is this? The odds that they're all Democrat would be one in 1,024. Just in a binary situation, that's the same amount of Native American that Elizabeth Warren is. Isn't that funny? She's one in like 1,024th or whatever. That's the same statistical probability on a basic binary for these are just randomly all Democrats. And then when people say, well, Democrats are smarter, they're not. That's not true. Saying Democrats are smarter is a ridiculous statement. And these people are in charge of all late night comedy. So then you realize, like, that's a glaring fact that the left has taken over comedy and they've made it propaganda. Not one of those people was pro-Trump, our current president, who won an election. That's crazy. And I don't even think comedians necessarily have to be pro one or the other. My favorite comedy is when you don't always know what the comedian is. And you can be pro-Trump or anti-Trump depending on the week. Comedians are supposed to have like a firm core, speak truth to power, be artistic, be brave. But at the same time, there's a fickle nature to comedy where you have to be able to adapt, where, you know, one minute you're rollerblading and the next minute you're making fun of rollerblades, because it just, you kind of have to go with your instincts. And when things change, you got to go with it. But anyway, these are all pussies. All these guys, they're all babies. They're just all weak men. And it's by design. All right. Oh, this is I wanted to bring this up. So I was just going through the airport. Someone texted me. I'm just making sure that it's not like an audio situation or something. Oh, this is funny. Hang on, let me just show you this real quick. It has to do with what I'm talking about right now. I got to get the bear phone going again. You can't see any phone numbers, right? Oh, someone made this. Was this made by Unbearable News Network? You guys are still doing that, right? So someone made this. I just got a message. Oh, that was from that scientist lady I was telling you about. Awesome. All right. So, and it's the Faces of Comedy, but they're all the non-player character things. Yeah, because I'm currently on Facebook again, probably for like a week. They banned me for months all the time. So anyway, I'm going through Seattle Airport, and these paper straws are terrible. I almost think that it's like sadistic politicians that were like, how do we just like bum everyone out? Like, how do we just like make everyone just feel like, like just that they like kind of stub their toe? Because they suck. You can't, when they get wet, they become soggy. Do you understand how not a factor it is that there's straws like in the ocean or some shit? Pollution isn't a thing. That sounds crazy. It can be a thing. There's areas that can become toxic. I think air pollution is a thing, especially when you're in like a valley or you're going through an industrial revolution, whatever. Okay. I know that there's a lot of young people listening, so I really do have to like watch my words and not like say something that's completely insane. But like straws are not a thing. Heroin is a thing. So in Seattle, you can get like free syringes and shoot up on the street in like your safe spaces, and everyone's fine with that. But straws, they're like, enough is enough. Straws have killed almost one fish. Males are the ones that say, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. But once you turn all the men into butt boys, soy boys, precious boys, sparkly little shiny, genderless nonsense machines, then bad people can do whatever they want. This is a funny meme. Sammy Hager is 70 years old. Bill Clinton is 71 years old. Sammy has had over 40 plus years of alcohol, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Bill lives with Hillary. I mean, it's because if you think about it, Bill has probably lived a healthier life, but Sammy isn't like an evil scumbag that's like part of a marriage that's based completely on power acquisition. That's everyone's 99.999% sure that they're murderers. And he's a sex addict while he's married with like young women. Almost certainly a rapist. Alleged credibly to the moon. And that's what you end up looking like, just a shell. And now that he doesn't have the power, do you see how the Democrats are getting rid of Bill? They don't even want him anymore. And that's why you should live a life with ethics, because you don't get away with anything. You get away with nothing. It always comes back. And like if you live an honorable life, you're never not useful. Like my wife's grandfather, Jack, is 82 years old, and he's so useful and so awesome because he just has a core energy and ethic and just personality that I seek his advice, his approval, his help. He's 82. Bill Clinton has nothing to offer anybody because he was an overindulgent butt boy. He spent his whole life using his extreme intelligence and charisma to acquire as much money and sex for himself as he possibly could. And his entire marriage is a scam. His presidency is looking back, like all the prosperity came simply from the invention of the internet. He didn't do anything of note. And he's just going to wither away and die like a lizard. And Sammy has just been a rock star. On the surface, it looks like he's more of a sinner, more of an indulgent human being. But in reality, I bet he's lived a much more sane, less disgusting life than Bill Clinton. I bet he's betrayed less people. I bet he's murdered less people. And that takes a toll on how you look and how people treat you. Bill Clinton is a he is a snake in the grass. This is just funny. I just want to show you this because it's funny. It's just a dude looking hilarious, and the t-shirt says, "What do we want? A cure for Tourette's. When do we want it? Cunt." It's a perfectly worded and timed joke. And that's perfect proof that there is no bad words in comedy. It's just you have to figure out how to make it funny. That's clearly funny to anyone. There's no insult, there's no offense. That's just a perfect t-shirt. That guy's hilarious. Male. Like, okay, this is a perfect example of the missed opportunity that SNL recently, like that Pete Davidson and Dan Crenshaw had that healing moment when Pete Mo Davidson went too far in a joke. Crenshaw came on the next week and made fun of him and took the joke, and they both took the jokes. They both shouted out the vets. Talk about remembering versus thank you for your service. He was like, instead say like something about it's so funny, I forgot. And it's about remembering the exact line. But anyway, this butt boy over here, this soy boy, this Peter Puffer, Jimmy Fallon, just rubs Trump's head. And then everyone turned on him. All his female writers made him apologize, and they've never had Trump back. And then his female writers, like when Hillary Clinton was on, they all came out, and one of them cried, and one of them like read her a poem. That man, Jimmy Fallon, is not male. He's not, and I still kind of like him in a weird way. I used to tour with him. We used to do like duets on stage and stuff. Like he's a charming guy. But he will stand for nothing. And it's like, when you have money like that, what's the point if it doesn't give you any more freedom or good power, like good authority? Like if having money doesn't give you that element of being like, you know what, I'm safe. I have my debts paid off. My kids are fine. So you know what, I'm not going to apologize for that. Go ahead and fire me. I'm good. I'm not going to be on a show where I have to apologize for rubbing the head of the president. It's like, but he's bigot, racist, homophobe. It's like, prove it. Prove it. You can't. We all know you can't. So you all shut up. Someone made this about Sidekick Bear, who isn't with us. He's back in my home residence. I miss Sidekick Bear and his hilarious backstories. I miss Sidekick Bear. He's a vicious, vicious bear, though. He does not trust the Jews or the Amish. Oh, I just thought this was funny. My dog took my boxing mitts because I have a heavy bag outside, and he buried them. People in this chat. That's cool. The bear that raped Leonardo. Yeah. Sidekick Bear, what? They killed him. But he's banging you. And then one of the pedophiles took out. He'll be like, yo, do you want to stream right now? I'm like, it's 3 a.m. But we'll make it happen. It'll be like a funny surprise. Oh, and paypal.me/feedthebear if you find this a quality stream and want to give me a tip and maybe write me a note. It's all crowdfunded. If you're running short on cash, feel no obligation. But if you have a little extra honey and you want to throw it in the big bear's jar, Go ahead and do it because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps it all afloat. And I can talk about actual men without fear. So if you're a man and you're sick of comedy talking down to men and making men seem like little butt boys, little Peter Puffers, support comedy you do like. Me. PayPal.me/feedthebear. Or if you want to buy a special, hugepianist.com. That's also ticket sales. Of course, there's patreon.com/WDTL. Or why didn't they laugh on iTunes? All that. That's where you get just the audio version. All right, I'm gonna get back into this. All right, I just got a little sidetracked talking about Sidekick Bear. Hope you guys are having fun. All right, what's up next? Oh, someone designed this. I think that this is gonna be the thing that I put on hats. I still have to make the hats. I'm a little late on that. Maybe I don't even know if I can get them in time for the tour. But that's just such a cool. That's just such a cool emblem. No soy boys allowed. Joy, not soy. Because I think that's one thing that I unintentionally, and you guys, we all just unintentionally made part of the Bear Clan, is just unapologetic masculinity, and not like the fake masculinity, not like the just like the no fear stickers on your like weirdo truck. Just like unapologetic masculinity. That's why there's female bears, because I think some of them just want dudes to be dudes. And so that's why the no soy boy allowed thing. I think that we're all about calling out predators. Correct me if I'm wrong, but judging by a lot of your awesome comments on the Bono stream or the DiCaprio thing or some of my Hollywood call out stuff, I have a really strong feeling that our little corner of the internet here does not like predators. And soy boys are predators. They seem harmless, but they're not. They appear harmless because they're trying to blend in so that they can do some damage. Oh, I thought this was interesting. Child sacrifice 1515 versus 2015. You have Planned Parenthood versus an Aztec temple. Human nature, guys. It's like there's sick tendencies that humans have that are always going to be there that you have to always stand against. Because there's something wrong with Planned Parenthood, and we all know it, and you gotta speak up about it. You don't want to be one of these Aztec morons. Oh, Zebra, this is what I want to talk about. This is a very interesting thing, and I actually learned this from Jordan Peterson, and then I looked it up. So Jordan Peterson does have some really good ideas and some great speeches, despite my occasional critique. Zebras have stripes. And just like the word faggot meaning bundle of sticks, and somehow that translated to homophobia, and like no one questioned that. And then I questioned it and I figured out why that's true. I do a bit about it. I won't bore you with it right now, but it didn't even have anything to do with gay people in the beginning. I'm just gonna tell you. It meant burdensome person, like a bundle of sticks. Like people would have to carry faggots on their back, because fag means stick or cigarette in England, but a fag. Like cigarette was slang for stick, which is fag. So way back in the day, when we had an agrarian society, you needed a ton of kids to bring in the crop. Like people were a resource because you didn't have farming equipment, you didn't have high fructose corn syrup in the welfare state. So if you had 10 kids, you needed all 10 kids to make you even more kids and go work. And when you had one son that just wanted to rollerblade with his best friend Brian, he was a burden on the family, and it had nothing to do with the hatred of gay people. It wasn't like, oh, those gays. It was like, we'll starve if you don't start making people with that wiener of yours. And so that now that we have a service-based economy, and gay men can be double income, no kids, and they're just inventing apps and having raves at their castles, it doesn't apply at all. Like economically speaking, the new faggot would be babies because they're economically harder than not having a baby. You spend $200,000 on this little faggot's education and they don't even help you bring in a crop. And then gay guys are like, you want to come over to the castle? We're having one of our many raves. It's all gold and diamonds. And I'm like, can I bring my baby? They're like, you leave that faggot at home. It's a burden to us. We're going to rollerblade. By the way, obviously a baby is not a burden. Have babies. They're the greatest. And if you figure out how to teach them how to do chores, they can start paying off. I think Walter is going to end up making me money in the long run. So But it's just part of the joke, and it's kind of true. That's why the government treats babies so horribly. That's why they just keep aborting them, because for 18 years they don't give you any taxes, and they unify families, and they make women vote Republican because they actually give a shit about their kids if there's a dad in the house, yada yada. All right, anyway, so the zebra has stripes, and it's crazy how many people don't ask the basic question, why do they have stripes? It's not like the African savanna is black and white and stripy. That isn't to blend in with the grass or the mountains or the trees. It's glaring. They stand out. That is not camouflage, but it is camouflage to a herd. So when one zebra is in a herd, the lion can't pick out a single zebra, and it makes the lion, it's very difficult for lions to hunt because those stripes play an optical thing on the lions. It's like a school of fish. It makes it harder for a single fish to be hunted. And so that's why zebras are herd animals. If you just put one like red line, like if you just paint just one thing of paint, one glob of paint on a zebra, that zebra will be dead within a day because the lion will be like, oh, the dotted one, I'm going to kill and hunt him down. And so that is a mentality that herd animals have. And I don't have that quality, but I'm starting to realize a lot of people do. And I just naturally don't. Some people just don't have that quality, but an insane amount of people do, where they're looking for their herd because they think if they stand out, they will be killed. And so that's why people will agree with absolute nonsense. Like when you see Jimmy Kimmel or CNN or Jim Acosta say, I never touched that girl, when a video just shows him just touch your hand. It's a fact. It's on video. And you're like, why would anyone go with the lie? It's because they're zebras. They're not lions. And so they feel like if they stand out in any way and question anything, they will be killed. And that's in the instincts of a lot of people. That's why the mainstream narrative is so important. That's why comedy has been corrupted. Because when you have these comedians saying these crazy, insane things about how white men are awful and how women, should be whores and abortions are awesome and like being fat is great and America sucks and you just hear laughter, fake laughter, canned laughter. I shot my hour special at Comedy Central the same weekend as Pete Holmes. They had to add all the laughs. He tanked. With mine, they didn't have to at all. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that my comedy was funny. It was to get the audience there to laugh. Pete Holmes, because it was the same director as mine. And I remember he was telling me about their audio problems, because it would be like dead silent after a joke and they would have to add the laughs. So why do they do this? Why do they have these people do comedy with jokes that aren't funny? Because so many people are now telling me, they're like, Netflix isn't funny, comedy's dead. Like, when are you gonna do a Netflix special? Never. They will never put me on there because I'm funny. And that's not like saying other people aren't funny. I'm just saying their goal isn't funny. Their goal is propaganda. Their goal is to emasculate the male, make people have absolutely no national pride, make people have no idea what's right or wrong, and to set up an environment for predators. And so when idiots and weak zebras hear laughter, they think, oh, I guess I'm wrong. That's funny. Ha! Two broke girls is funny. Ha! And non-zebras are like, this isn't funny. I'm not going to watch it anymore. And that's a real psychological thing that people have to understand, that that's real. Like, people will literally believe nonsense and repeat things that aren't true because they're scared of standing out from a herd because they think that will make them die. That's why public speech is the number one anxiety. The number one fear of human beings is public speech. Because when you speak, I don't have that fear. You know, I've done stand up in front of 12,000 people in the O2 Arena in London 4 times. You know, I could have 12,000 people around me, and if I'm not prepared, I'll be nervous, but I feel fine. It's really weird, and I'm terrified of heights. But people are scared of public speech because instinctively, if you're in front of a big group of people alone, odds are you're going to die. Because throughout most of our existence, those people would be killed. And so it's a valid fear, but it's really, really easy to manipulate. This is funny. History Lovers Club. Democratic Socialist Anti-War Protest in New York City, 1941. Why not peace with Hitler? That's what, like, being a history guy, I've been a history buff my whole life. I love stories. I love all the angles of history. I love sometimes how much time it takes to really understand an event and how little people understand about the things they talk about with such confidence is mind-blowing. Like people were back then, a lot of people were supportive of Hitler. The leftist media loved him. Time magazine made him person of the year in 1933. And people were like boycotting, like the same, like the pussy hat wearing people would have been boycotting the war and saying we should not fight Hitler. Hitler did nothing wrong. That's one reason why I joke about that so much, is because the left in the 30s would absolutely have said Hitler did nothing wrong. It's hysterical. Pinochet did nothing wrong for real, though. That guy was just doing some helicopter rides. He did what had to be done. This is a very, very interesting case study into what I was just talking about. Okay, let me get these side by side so we can just discuss both of them. All right. I'll put this one. Hang on a second. One second, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are having a good time. All right, so if I move this, you son of a bitch. I'm about to freak out. Amy, cover Walter's ears. I'm about to say cunt a lot. It's all right, I'll just make this work. Want to put them side by side. I can put this over here. This is a perfect example of the zebra mentality of a lot of women. And it's not a shot at women, it's just true. So Linda Sarsour is a genocidal Muslim, and she's been the head of the Women's March since its inception. And she is not shy about her beliefs. She thinks that Sharia law is good for women openly. She thinks Jews are parasitic. She thinks they should be wiped off the planet. She believes in Sharia law straight up. She thinks that women would be better served under a Saudi Arabian type government. She is a vile, vile woman and the opposite of any rational definition of feminism. I think feminism's absurd, but I have friends I respect that consider themselves feminist, and the most rational possible version of feminism. Like, feminism has to, at some level, desire the safety of women. Like, forget wage gap, that nonsense. Forget rape statistics that are total bullshit. Like, forget all that. There has to, like, the base of feminism has to, at some point, on some level, have to do with the freedom and safety of women. Or else, what, it wouldn't be called feminism. It would be called we hate womenism. Islamism or Islam, when Islamism, see, some people use Islamism to not address the fact that it's Islam, and I'm not doing that. It's just two different ways of looking at it. Islamism is the political outgrowth of it, like the caliphate versus one Muslim guy on the street. You know, he practices Islam. Islamism is their religion taking its inevitable government form, which it always does because it's a caliphate. It doesn't separate Caesar and whatever, you know. And it's horrifying for women. Forget Christine Blasey Ford. If you don't have four witnesses, it's not a rape. And the woman, it's sometimes if women are raped, they'll be killed by their own family. It's an honor killing because they, I think you might need eight female witnesses because a woman is only half a witness in Islam. It's insane. They cover their faces. They weren't allowed to drive until recently. And they're the head of the Women's March. And no one said anything because women act like zebras in large groups. Linda Sarsour, that would be the equivalent of if Adolf Hitler was the head of Ben Shapiro's synagogue and no one said shit. It was literally Adolf Hitler himself. was the head of the synagogue. And everyone just sat there and they're like, this makes total sense. And so, what's her name? Alyssa Milano. So this is a Daily Wire article. It says, Deborah Messing joins Alyssa Milano condemning anti-Semitic women's march leaders. And as you can see here, Deborah Messing. So Ashar Ali, Alyssa Milano says she will not speak at the next women's march as long as Linda Saussure and Tamika Mallory remain a part of the leadership and refuse to condemn Louis Farrakhan's anti-Semitism. Bear in mind, Louis Farrakhan has always been anti-Semitic. Always. He called Jews termites. I'll make fun of Jews. I'll make fun of Jews to the cows come home. But comparing them to bugs is like, even for me, like I'm a comic, unless you're doing it in a character that's ironic, bug comparisons, like, come on, that's just beyond. Like, you can criticize Israel as a state. You can criticize some stuff in the, not the Torah, the other one, the other one. There's like another book with some sketchy parts, but whatever. Everything has sketchy parts. But America's involvement in certain Israelis. What I'm saying is you can sound aggressive against Jews and I'll still be your buddy. Because you may have a point, you may not. I don't know. If you compare them to bugs, like you're out. Like you're not hanging out. They're not fucking bugs, dude. But they still stood with this person. So as soon as Alyssa Milano switched, and you know why she switched, is because the synagogue shooting opened up the left's ability to call Trump an anti-Semite. They never addressed any of that shit. They never addressed all the hate crimes against Jews committed by it. Muslims and black people in inner cities with Jewish landlords. It's not white people. White people are not beating up, like normal white American dudes are not committing any anti-Semitic acts. Like statistically, it's all Muslims and black people that are mad at landlords, like legitimately. And they never addressed it ever. They never addressed what's happening in France or Germany or how it's literally becoming unsafe again to live in a lot of these European countries if you're Jewish. They're just like, don't be Islamophobic. Let you know, Abdul cut off your head with a machete. It's part of their culture. But as soon as they had Trump, and this was a never Trumper who shot up the synagogue. It was a white guy. So they're like, white guy? But it was a guy who hated Trump. It wasn't even a Trump guy, but they got to use it to say he was anti-Semitic. So what was the problem then? Linda Saussure opens her mouth. They can't be associated anymore. Not because of any values or ethics or logical consistency. No, it's about power acquisition. That's what we're dealing with. So Alyssa Milano, who's married to a Jew, who'd never cared before, obviously, you know, until this happened. And then they're like, we are against Alyssa Milano now that we have Trump's balls against the fire, even though Israel just named a train station after him. So immediately you see all these other women go, I stand with you, Alyssa. You're absolutely right. You're totally right. You're right. They act like voting blocks. And that's why the Democrats are so pissed at white women, because white women are voting for Republicans majority now, because white women are more married and they have kids and they want their husbands and their nations to succeed. Single women or idiots like Alyssa Milano, like these weird pathological nonsense machines, they'll just go with the group, even if the group is telling them that they're going to create a nation where they have no rights. Like women have no rights under any caliphate, none, zero. You cover your face. If you uncover your face in public, it's illegal. You can be murdered for that. And they tried to spin it like the hijab is like, it's empowering because now men can't man look at you. They can't mansplain you with their eyes. It's really a feminist move to cover your face. That way you don't even have to think about men's, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. They love Islam because Islam submits. Islam's about power. Islam is communism with a God. Islam literally means submission. Israel means struggle with God. They don't like Christians. The state hates Christians. The left hates Christians because Christians are awesome, and they respect people and freedom and They want limited government. They want to be able to protect themselves. They want to be able to have their kids be educated by teachers that don't tell them there's 900 genders and that they should have sex with adults. And so that's why this is all happening. So I just wanted to show that. Again, paypal.me/feedthebear if you find this intriguing, valuable. You have a little extra cash you want to throw it my way because I don't have sponsors or any of that shit and I'll never be hired by Hollywood again. But if not, I'm glad that I can bring this to you for free. Just hit the like button, share it, and spread the word because this is a more concise episode about one thing, which I know some people enjoy because that means they can send it to their friends and I don't just sound like a crazy person talking to a dead bear. This is my beautiful wife, Amy. This was this morning. It's 6 a.m. with 2 kids. This is how happy she was. And she was like, don't post that. I look goofy. I think she's so cute when she's goofy like that. Like she just looks like a goof. I don't know. That was a little gay how I just acted. This is a cool picture. This is the left. This is the SJW. It is a genderless, it's like a genderless entitled, just vindictive, resentful person with a little bit of sadness in their lip. You see that? There's a little bit of almost like they're about to cry, but they, and then all the labor around them that allows them to have these insane beliefs. You know, you have the porn, the naked girl giving the porn. You have the weed growers. You have the cocaine growers or the chocolate growers. You have the African miners getting the precious metals out of the ground to make their precious iPhones. You have the Chinese seamstress making their cheap Che Guevara shirts. It's just a living hell. And don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing labor. I'm not saying that these people shouldn't have these jobs and be able to work their way up. Capitalism pulls people out of poverty. I'm not even saying that this is exploitation. The porn star, probably because of the high rate of abuse. A lot of porn stars come from child abuse, so it's a little crazy. But everything else, it's like, yeah, I have no problem with that. I'm a free market capitalist. But the reason this is powerful is because that person would criticize all of us for wanting more freedom in business, for wanting just to work hard and keep our money to do what we want with it. They're saying, no, we have to make equality. We have to spread around your money to what our interests, whoever paid the Clinton Foundation. Meanwhile, California has the biggest difference between rich and poor of any state by far. It's like a third world country and it's falling apart. It's literally on fire and they're blaming Trump for the fire. They don't allow their underbrush to burn. And my heart goes out. God bless the firefighters. God bless the dead. It's so sad to see that people are actually dying. At first I was just all condemning it, just being like, this is what they get. Whenever there's dead Americans, I always just think like, oh man, that could have been anybody. Just really good people and that sucks. So I'm not even going to talk my normal bullshit, but it's totally preventable and they manage their state so bad that it's mind-blowing. I had a buddy, you know, I'm in the tree business when I'm with my brother and my brother's in the tree business and back in the day every summer I would always work with him wherever he was living. And I think it was Atlanta. We worked with a smoke jumper. And a smoke jumper is a firefighter. They're a tree guy, but they assist firefighters. Well, they'll skydive into a inferno. And they just frantically cut down all the trees that could be used as fuel to help stop the spreading. So I know an odd amount of about forest fires. And never allowing them to have burns, never allowing controlled burns, never allowing the underbrush to kind of do its natural thing and just suppressing it. And then with the way they irrigate and they do their river bullshit and how dry it is and how many houses are close to all these things that naturally burn, but they won't allow it to burn for so long that when it does burn, it's just like crazy. And all these actual environmentalists, not leftist nonsense, we want to control your life environmentalist over nonsense, like actual people that understand forestry, like people that go to, you know, Paul Smith's is a college near where I used to live in Saranac Lake. Like there's people that know like the skill, the actual knowledge of maintaining forests, they'll all tell you that it's an inferno waiting to happen, and they don't listen. The last one was set by a migrant. This one very well could have been set by migrants, by illegal migrants in America that are resentful dickheads that can't be prosecuted. And then when the media found out the last one wasn't set by this monster under the bed, climate change. By the way, whenever people say that, they just won't own responsibility. If we had the climate change narrative back when Katrina hit New Orleans, that would have been blamed, not the fact that they didn't build their infrastructure at all and the levees were all just rotting because of all the embezzlement that was happening in that corrupt government. It was not because of global warming. It's because people weren't rebuilding the levees. And that's what's happening in California. And instead of blaming the politicians that are literally embezzling the money that should go to this, or they won't acknowledge that they can't build these mansions right next to just a tinderbox that they can't allow to release any of their fire, they just blame climate change. And who's to blame for climate change? Trump. Do you think Trump's election in 2016 has changed the world's climate? You're nuts. Just nuts. And again, it's not even that they're nuts, they're zebras. Even the ones that know it isn't true. And I blame men, well, even more than women, because women instinctively are more zebra acting than men. Men, it's the male job to call this shit out, or else your house burns, your neighbor's house burns. I guarantee I have friends that are going to lose their house in this wildfire. It's the male responsibility to say the hard truths and say, listen, this is all going to go to shit. We need strong borders. That doesn't get me friends. That doesn't get me praise. That doesn't get me work. It's just a fact. When people call me a racist, it hurts just like it hurts you. You don't think it hurts me? You think I want to be called a racist? A sexist because I'm saying men and women are different? You think that I don't feel that emotion? It's just I know the responsibility of grown males. And that's to say, okay, I'll take that shot. But the reality is we need border security. We can't have all these unchecked migrants coming in and taking the jobs of Americans. And yes, Conan O'Brien, those are good jobs. The leftist elites, the coastal elites will say, well, I have no problem with people taking the jobs that Americans won't do. You stupid son of a bitch. Of course, we'll do those jobs. I've done those jobs in the last 2 years. After being on a sitcom for 3 years and five movies, I hauled brush for 20 an hour for my brother to pay my bills. And to be honest, I slept really well. I slept better than I did in LA. I came home, Amy was all about it because I got to burn off. I got to have my own controlled burns, you know, my masculine burns. I got to like hang out with dudes all day and just do work and then come home and not have that like shitty energy of like angst because I didn't move a ton of fucking trees. All right, what else we got here? I'm almost done here and then I'll let you guys go. Where is this? Got some vids. Oh, so this is the joke I was trying to work on, and I actually found a video of a real example of how I want to do a joke about how my wife understands what Walter says and I don't at all. And the joke is going to be that he says something all day, and I think he's talking shit to me about something, like he's calling me fat boy or something. And I'm just like, fat boy. He's like, fat boy. And then later I found out he's saying fast boy, and it's about him. That's not obviously not funny yet, but this is the process. And but it literally is almost like women are Chewbacca or in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like they can understand Groot. It's like that little weasel guy that can understand Groot. And like, I just can't. Like, watch. This is from before Charlie was even born, but just watch how like Walter says shit. I have no idea what he's saying, and she totally does. All right, watch this. Hang on. I gotta find this video real quick. Good. I hope you guys are having fun. I haven't been able to check in with any chats or anything because I've just been trying to stay on point.
Walter, what should we name baby brother?
Baby.
What'd he say?
Baby blue brother, red brother.
That's a great name, buddy.
What?
How did she know that? Like, that didn't even make any sense. And Amy, all right, let's just listen one more time. Baby blue brother, red brother. Is that what he named her? Named him? By the way, a great name. We should have went with that instead of Charlie.
Well, what should we name baby brother? What'd he say?
Baby blue brother, red brother.
That's a great name, buddy.
What?
We should have done that. I might change Charlie's name to baby blue brother, red brother. Hey, baby blue brother, red brother. Because she's around him all day. Oh, I know there's always reasons. I get it. But it's just funny. It's still true. All right, I'm going to play two stories for my brother. Maybe one little funny thing, and then we'll call it a day. PayPal.me/feedthebear. Want to feed the bear? HugePianist.com for tickets for the tour, for the White Supremacist tour. Denver is sold out, both shows. But we have Salt Lake City, Vegas, Phoenix, and Albuquerque. Okay, so here's a little wisdom from my brother. I miss him, but I'm about to be with him for 8 days.
I'd say, you know, would you cut off your thumb for $1,000 or $1 million or $1 billion? What about a car, like unlimited money? Would you cut off both your hands for all the money in the world, but you can't get your hands back ever? And then I point out, like, today someone lost their hand. Today someone lost their vision. Like, would you go blind for all the money in the world? No? Well, today someone went blind for nothing. So why don't we just get jacked up and pumped to be like, I have hands and I can see.
See, my brother's all about trying to figure out the best way to really enjoy his day. He's almost like an enjoyment connoisseur. And I have one more example of that. This is like a little story told, and it's just all about enjoyment. All right, let me get this up. This is it.
So, a man, a woman, a person stops at a gas station out in the desert. Only gas station for miles and miles, 100, 200 miles. To fill up on gas, get some provisions, get on their way. They see crawling across the desert, almost like a mirage, this bearded, stringy-haired, emaciated, ribs showing, almost like a loincloth guy crawling on bloody elbows to the desert across the tarmac, right up to the car. And they said in a hoarse voice full of sandpaper, "Do you have any water?" And the man, woman, person was like, "Of course I do. Like, hold on. You know, jug of water. Like, here's a Reese's Pieces. Like, here's a Twisted Tea." Oh, Twisted Tea. And so they're dumping it over their head. They're dumping their water. They can finally stand up a little bit and stretch. And they headed right back into the desert. And the man, woman, person said, where are you going? And they said, back into the desert. He said, why? He goes, because water never tastes as good.
And then he rings the bell. Man, I miss my brother. It's such a funny little story. It's just about people just getting thirsty just so it really, really tastes good. All right, I'm going to read some of these PayPals. Oh, I have one more. Here's a quick joke for you. This is just, I just saw this as I was looking for videos of my brother, and it just made me laugh, so I'm just going to play it for you.
So, this bar gives free booze to people of color. That's hilarious. The social justice warriors go full circle until they're giving Indians whiskey. You can't make this shit up. They're just giving Indians free whiskey.
It just made me laugh. I forgot I said that. I was like improvising that. That's a free special. You guys are running short on cash and you want some good comedy. It's called Live at Bellevue. Owen Benjamin Live at Bellevue. It's on my YouTube. someone requested the Tommy Robinson song. It was the first time I played it live, and then they were singing it in England. Like the whole all the streets were singing it. It was like a rally cry. It was awesome. And Tommy shouted us out. It's really cool, just the process of that song. But let me read some PayPals, because some of you guys took the time to do this, and I just really want to. Well, my brother just texted me. Give me 1 second. He just wrote, "Have you been on any crazy flights? The one we were just on sort of challenged my inner peace." This is hysterical. All right. This is from Walter. "Hey, Big Bear. I originally thought Chuck Norris killed Sidekick Bear, but now I know that was just the spin the Clintons put on the story. After doing further research, reading other Bear stories, I found out what really happened to Sidekick Bear. He was once just known as Bear. He did run into Chuck Norris. Instead of killing him, Chuck taught him his famous sidekick. He then became known as Sidekick Bear. I never even thought of that. You actually took it literally. Then he was captured by Jeff Epstein's goons and placed in a cage on his island for all the pervs to gawk at. A sidekicking bear was fun for them to see. It was there that he witnessed Bill Clinton raping kids and Hillary drinking their blood. When Jeff Epstein got busted, Sidekick Bear was ready to reveal all the world and placed into witness protection. But the Clintons got wind of his whereabouts, and that was the end of Sidekick Bear. Wanna know how we should end that story? Is Bill Clinton fucked him to death. Bill Clinton was like, I think I can fuck that bear to death. What do you think, Hillary? And she was like, only if I get to drink the blood after. I think I can fuck that bear to death. What do you think, Hill? Sidekick Bear. Do you guys like Sidekick Bear backstories? Oh, Coddington loves it. That's cool. This is confirmed. Oh, I got some laughs on that one. Did he eat a kid? No, Sidekick Bear is not. Sidekick Bear is a good dude. This is from Robert. Thanks, buddy. That was nice. That was generous of you, brother. Hey, Owen, been wanting to write you for a few weeks now, and since it's Veterans Day and I'm a Marine vet, I figured I'd play hooky from work and do some real life shit. I recently found your podcast after binging like 100 episodes on Molyneux, and I've gotten to the point where I really look forward to your daily live stream. Thank you. You're a good dude, genuine, and firm in your beliefs. It's refreshing and rare to hear people speak truth, partly because truthsayers are persecuted by the media gatekeepers, and partly because most people have no idea what truth is." It's interesting. Yeah, I think like if you don't say what you know to be true long enough, you don't even know what's true anymore, and that's truly hell. That would be my hell. "Not saying I'm a great sage, but I've been seeking truth my whole life, and after graduating college 7 years ago, I've been able to devote a lot of time to self-educate. I tuned out a lot of politics for a few years because it's gay and they're all corrupt pedophiles, but once I heard guys were cutting their dicks off and people were getting offended by microaggressions, I had to look and see what the fuck was going on. Dude, I did a bit in my last special, Persona Non Grata, hugepianist.com, where I'm like, it might not have been in that show though. It might have been in Live from Kelsey Theater, free on my YouTube if you want that. But the bit was, I was like, I always said the same thing. Politics are for fags. Until one day someone was like, you can't say fag anymore. And I was like, what is this politics you speak of? That's hysterical. I felt the same way, buddy. Turns out the left lost its damn mind and is very close to ripping the country apart with a satanic overthrow of our culture. I totally agree. I love this guy. Stefan and Stephen Hicks explained postmodernism in a way I had never heard it before. I always considered myself liberal. And see, that's the thing. You can still be liberal, but not a liberal. It's kind of like the difference between capital science as science and normal science. All right, we can talk about that another time. All right, and I had no idea that what it had been taken to the maxim, the left becomes totalitarian and murderous, even worse than the right, dude. They put up numbers because they eat their own. They're cannibals. As bad as that's the thing, is I consider Hitler a leftist, by the way, obviously. But like, I don't know. American conservatism would never allow for a Genghis Khan, obviously, but like, at least they didn't eat their own. I don't know. As you can obviously tell, I'm an intelligent guy, not Jew smart, but half German smart, and I'm also a patriot. Those two things mean I have a duty to help preserve the country in any way I can. I don't have a large sphere of influence, but, well, right now you're talking to thousands of people, so that's cool. But think about it, right now his letter is being heard by thousands of people. Picture 30, okay, plus the audio. Picture 100,000 people. Picture a Michigan Wolverines game. Right now this is being read to that. Isn't that crazy? But I'm really good at making shit happen. So I've started contacting philosophy groups in the Denver-Boulder area with intentions to set up a speaking gig for Molyneux. He encourages his listeners to do that sort of thing, so I've taken up the call. That's a smart son of a bitch. Except he said SOB. I just want to spell it out for the people that don't speak English as a first language. And he might be able to slow the soy stream coming out of the colleges around here. Keep fighting the good fight, brother. The left is terrible at everything. Yeah, that's what Dennis Prager says. Everything they touch turns to shit. So I'm hopeful we can lead these young, indoctrinated libtards into the light. But I buy guns and ammo just in case. Dude, you're like my favorite new person. This is exactly how I think. By the way, I recommend getting an AK-47. There's a company in Denver called AccuTech that makes their own version. It's really high quality machining with some sweet improvements over the original design. They don't advertise the weapon online, but they sell them at the gun shows around here. If you're interested, AR-15s are good rifles, but an AK is superior. It's not really debatable. I mean, I was just about to debate you on that, by the way, until I just read that it's not debatable, so I won't. I mean, you can debate it, but you'll lose, and you're not a loser. You're a hero, like Hitler. Dude, this guy is awesome. I don't know if I can buy an AK in Colorado, but I totally would if I can with my ID, because someone in Vegas offered me and my guys some weapons training at this cool training thing in Vegas. So I was going to check out the laws of bringing guns through states and shit, because I really, 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 really want to do that. There's so many laws, and I don't want to break any of the laws. I'm all about following the laws to be the most capable of being an outlaw as possible, but it's all about not – those gun laws are nuts. That's why it's all about voting them down, because I don't recommend breaking them. That's why we have to keep them not fucking there. Oh, and Covfefe Bear here, did you get our coffee? We sent you a bag. Would love to get an IG pic of you in the bag. Facebook IG won't allow us to advertise and help. Much appreciated. I haven't seen it, but if I do, I'll absolutely post a pic. All right. I'll read like maybe two or three more. Hit the like button. Share it. Subscribe. Be like that legendary Marine out of Denver. Be that cool. You know he hit the like button. I mean, it's a fact. Hey, Owen, something that is – oh, and by the way, when I say that, again, for those of you that don't know, it's not about just arbitrary numbers. Like those numbers help me not get banned, because algorithms – weigh likes versus dislikes versus views versus comments. That's why I always plug that, because I currently can't stream on my normal YouTube. I've been banned from even uploading at my normal YouTube. I've had to get a lawyer. It's a real thing. So that's why I continuously tell you guys to do that. So just to explain. Hey, Owen, something that has been weighing on my heart concerning you, and I want to exhort and encourage you, as the topic is on masculinity, is to try to stop cursing altogether. Ah, fuck that, man. I'm just kidding. All right, let me just finish reading this. I know you have addressed this in the past, and I want to be the one who goes out on a limb to encourage you that you will lose none of your masculinity eliminating that from your life. Your son will see a father be... Oh, dude, I don't swear in front of my son. That being said, I like all the words, but I'm going to finish reading it. Your son will see a father be a man without those words, and you can't address angry issues without tossing up a curse word. You've honestly been doing better as of late, and I just want to encourage you to keep giving that over to God, Captain Spire. Yeah, no, I like the challenge. And I think it is, it's intellectually challenging to, because one reason people swear, myself included, is when you don't want to take the time to think of a synonym that works as good as like cunt. You know, you could say woman of ill repute. Ah, woman of ill repute. But that being said, I know what you mean. It's definitely a cool move to be able to not swear, and I like those types of challenges. And I don't swear when I do. Like I just performed at Dennis Prager Gala. It was all like top donors, And Stephen Harper was there and all these people. I didn't even say shit. But that's because I kind of knew what I was going to say ahead of time. When I'm free-flowing for a couple hours a day, can't always guarantee it. But I accept your challenge. I'll try to swear less. I already was trying that. And I know that there is no try, only do. I know that little Jew Yoda said that. But I'll figure it out. If I feel like I'm losing any of my communicative ability, I'm not going to do it. But if I can make it work, I will. I'm trying not to say Jesus Christ when I stub my toe and shit like that. That's something I want to try and make just try and like know what I'm saying. But some women are cunts. Like saying God damn it or Jesus Christ, again, I don't consider that taking the Lord's name in vain. I think it's lazy. But I think like it's definitely more powerful if you know what you're saying more and you don't just use it randomly for dumb shit. That way, when you say Jesus Christ, it's more powerful than just a stubbed toe. Because that's not what I mean. Like when I stub my toe, I want to say fuck. But instead of that, in school growing up, we'd say damn it or Jesus, which is so ironic because fuck is more accurate. All right, almost done here. Hey, Big Bear, Silent Bear here. I had a thought I wanted to know if you think it's on track. Teen angst is kind of hormonal, I know, but I also think that it's way overblown in modern society and disrespect, hatred towards parents is seen as normal when it shouldn't be. I agree. I mean, that's the thing. It's like even my kid's 2.5, but it's like a lot of people are like terrible twos or like, yeah, my kid's always being a dick. And I'm like, not mine. Like my kid is really not, it says he loves me every day. It's like, maybe you're a dick. All right. I'm starting with that because of how you pointed out that words are a spell in a way. And sometimes speaking something brings it into existence. It's true. The Jews know that. It seems to me that most music is made by people with really fucked up pasts and presents. All of these kids singing along to music written by people being tormented by devils might make those kids feel as though they have experienced trauma even when they haven't. Man, that's a profound thought. I've thought about that too. By the way, it's nuts how many famous people have had their parents or brothers or sisters or children like violently killed. Just a little FYI, look up how many people that you have no idea. It's like, oh, his brother was stabbed to death. It's like, oh, his sister was stabbed. Like Morgan Freeman's daughter was stabbed to death. It's so weird how much trauma these people experience. And then they make our art. It's supposed to be like totally normal. It's like Netflix has this new movie out with Maggie Gyllenhaal just like molesting a kid. And like in Crazy Land, in like these people's world, that's like a heart, you know, it's a real touching story about, you know, a woman and a 5-year-old, and she kidnaps him and then tells him she's going to give him candy for his talents. And normal people want to vomit Maggie Gyllenhaal. That's literally, you're trying to normalize pedophilia. And it's, if it was a grown man and a 5-year-old girl and it was all the same, it would be, people would react horrifically. But that was one of the parts of Joe Rogan's new special that I did not like, was when he talked about like, an adult woman banging like a boy is not as like, he sees nothing wrong with that, but like a grown man banging a girl. And don't get me wrong, like I have instincts to think that it's worse on the girl. I get that. But in reality, I don't think it is. I think that just rape is rape. And what boys go through is insane. And the fact that like we see a 5-year-old boy with like a 45-year-old weirdo, and they're like almost naked swimming and touching each other in a Netflix trailer. How does that not make people feel insane? All right, I got to finish this. I'm on just so many tangents. I'm Tangent McGee. Whenever I fly, I'm so tangenty. Let me finish Silent Bear here. Oh, and I know I can't get to everybody. And some days I can. Today I can't, but... thank you for everybody that's PayPal'd me. I appreciate it. I'm starting with that because it seems to me the most, all right, read that. I love music, don't get me wrong, and I'm an artist myself, but when I write fucked up things, It's not because I'm celebrating them or because my own past was like that. I wonder if there's a line between art that perpetuates the evil and art that exposes it. Ooh, wow, that was mind-blowing, Silent Bear. Perpetuates versus exposes it. A lot of people tell me I say things that they've always thought and couldn't put into words. You just did that for me. I've never put that into words, and that's so true. It's the difference between perpetuating and exposing in art. That's profound, Silent Bear. Wow. Because I love some edgy art, some fucked up art. Sorry, Captain Spire. I'm not sorry, but I already said fucked up. But like some disturbing stuff I think is good because the intention is to expose, not to perpetuate. That's so true. Wow. All right, anyway, that's all. Just curious what you thought. Keep up the great work, BB, and tell Sidekick Bear to stop being such a dick to you. It's probably just because you're part you. He treats you fine 3/4 of the time. That's absolutely true. And let's not tell people about that quarter. It's not exactly something I'm proud of. All right. Nathan, here's some salmon. Thank you, buddy. That was generous. Keep fighting the good fight. Thanks for keeping it real and not being a sellout and try to sell me sheets. Please verify me as Man Pig Bear. Haha, God bless, Nate. Welcome, Man Pig Bear. And there's tons of people that have asked for verifications that I haven't got to. I want to be able to allow like Coddington and some of those guys to verify people because I just can't keep up with the verifications, which is a blessing, but also starting to feel a little bit of bear guilt because people want to be verified. So I might have to have a couple nights at the round table. All right, last one. That was a long one, but I feel good about it. Hey, Big Bear. This is from Rainer. Hey, Big Bear, big fan, and thank you for doing the stream. I feel connected to what you say as I followed leftist dogma throughout college, but in the few years since graduating, I realized that I have always been a conservative, but did not think about it until the last few years. I've always been a monogamous person, and I am married and working towards a family in my mid-20s. I've lost a lot of friends who think that a single life is where it is at, but mind you, almost all of them are depressed, anxious, lonely, or all of the above. So true. This is not an attack against those ailments, just an observation. That's what someone without the ailments is capable of saying, by the way. That's what someone pointed out to me about yesterday's stream when they're like, bro, you're so alpha that you're trying to not be alpha. like if you're in a, only someone in a pretty good mental state can have the wherewithal to say, and that's not an attack on those ailments. So funny. I'm in a really good mood. You guys have put me in a good mood. All right. That being said, I am lucky enough to have surrounded myself with some great men who are following my path, which makes me incredibly excited for the future, even in the face of this neo-Marxist nonsense. Good for you. Last thing, I would like to be verified as Blockchain Bear. Welcome, Blockchain Bear. And please fill me in to, I feel like it's gold with Asperger syndrome. That's how I see blockchain. I don't quite understand. It's kind of like when people explain coding to me, but I do know that a decentralized currency is where it's at. I'm all about bullets, water, seeds, coffee, alcohol, bricks, friendships. Last thing. All right. Due to it being my current angle, I'm taking in my career. How do I go about doing this? I'm a bit confused by the process. Oh, you just did it, my friend. Welcome to the Unbearables. You're Blockchain Bear. Welcome, Blockchain Bear. Just do me a favor, Blockchain Bear, and try to help me understand it because people keep trying to be like, I want to send you crypto. I've gotten, I'm not exaggerating, 1,000 offers of people being like, let me send you some crypto. How do I do it? And I'm like, what is this thing? And so I even bought like $100 worth of Bitcoin. No idea what it is or how to use it. I don't even know my login. It looks like I had like something that you scan at Walmart. I had like a 5,000 like letter number ID thing. And then someone's like, oh, now you got it. You got your Bitcoin. I'm like, what is it? And what do I do with it? They're like, oh, you'll know. You'll know what to do with it. And I'm like, because that, you know, I don't want to pass up free donations. But at the same time, I have no... Captain Spire, I have no cunting clue. Oh no, I messed up. I replaced fucking with cunting. I have no clue what it means at all. All right, so hit the like button, share, comment, and comment to each other. That's the thing. I can't get to all the even PayPals, let alone emails and comments and stuff, which is awesome. But the coolest thing is when you guys interact and collaborate and do stuff, because that's what is being taken from us as community with common values. So make it. And like, share, subscribe, all that stuff. Hugepianist.com for my last four specials or tickets to the tour. What else? Unbearablestore.com for some tees or hoodies. And I'll be seeing you guys. I don't know if I can do a stream tomorrow. I'm going to be shooting a sketch with one Mr. Steven Crowder and his dog. And what else do I got to tell you guys? I don't know. Just write me stuff. Keep writing me jokes too. And be good to each other and make babies. It's all about you can't beat the American family. That's the one thing. They can do vote recounts all they want. They can lie and cheat and steal. You want to know what can't be beaten? A good child. Make a baby and raise it. That's the way out. It's like literally, it's unbelievable. So if you find yourself bitching a lot and feeling out of control and you're with someone that you love and you're not in poverty, even though, you know, my grandfather was a lead miner in a dirt floor and made my mom and uncle, it's time to make some babies. It's, you'll lose your mind, but you'll find your soul. All right, much love, everybody. And Pinochet did nothing wrong. Hitler did one or two things wrong, but neither thing had anything to do with Jews. It's more about Russian war strategy. All right, but seriously though, and for those of you with autism, that's a joke. I know that there's a percentage of the population that doesn't understand that, but that's fine. Be good to each other, and yeah, spread the videos, because I'm shadow banned. Much love. Bye.